Makers. Today, in mourning, a very enlightening transcendental class was given by His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj. He was discussing the importance of this festival we are celebrating today by describing the lives of Madhavendra Puri and Srinivas Acharya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he writes Chaitanya Charitamrita, he first offers his millions of obeisances at the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who described Lord Chaitanya's life in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then he explains that after worshipping his lotus feet, whatever remnants he has left behind for me by what he has not described, I will try to narrate that. So following in the footsteps of Kaviraj Goswami, some of the remnants Barsana Maharaj has left by what he did not have time to tell. If he had time, more time, certainly he would reveal the entire universe of great Vaishnava's loving devotion. Today, the appearance day of Sri Madhavendra Puri. As was said this morning, in the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, Madhavendra Puri is declared to be the seed in which the whole tree emanated. In fact, Lord Chaitanya, in ecstasy, when he would praise Madhavendra Puri, he would say, he is the seed, he is the root, he is the trunk of the tree of pure devotional service. In his appreciation of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya once said, you will not find the true understanding of religion, even by scrutinizingly analyzing all the various verses of the scriptures, nor by performance of austerity. The actual true essence of the scriptures can only be known by observing the qualities of a pure devotee like Madhavendra Puri. He is the very embodiment who reveals the essence of all knowledge through his life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going from Shantipur to Jagannath Puri just after he had taken sannyas. He was traveling with Nityananda Prabhu, Damodar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, Mukunda, five of them. They came to the holy village of Remuna. Have any of you ever been to Remuna? Even today, if you go there, it's like going back in time 500 years. Simple village. People just bathe and every house practically has a little pond behind it where they take their bath and they do their washing. Beautiful trees, forest-like situation. In the heart of the town, or the village, is the temple of Gopinath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into the temple and offered his prostrated obeisances to the feet of Lord Gopinath. And just when he was laying on the ground at the feet of the Lord's mercy, he had a helmet made out of flowers. It fell down right on Lord Chaitanya's head. Lord Chaitanya, taking this to be the mercy of the Lord, he fell unconscious in ecstasy. Then he got up and started dancing and singing. When he came to his composure, he saw the Arti of Gopinath, and he knew that in that temple they have an offering of kheer, or sweet rice, of which there is nothing like in all the world. Lord Chaitanya decided to stay till the next day just to taste that sweet rice. During the night, he told his associates a wonderful story. He had personally heard this story from his own spiritual master's mouth, Ishvara Puri, who was the disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. He explained that Madhavendra Puri, this very, very great pure-hearted devotee, was traveling to all the holy places of pilgrimage. He came to Vrindavan. While there, he performed the parikrama, or the circumambulation of Sri Giriraj, Govardhan Hill. After which, he sat under a tree at Govindakund. This is a very sacred place. At the time of Krishna's pastimes, after Lord Krishna defeated the pride of Indra by holding the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights with the small finger of his left hand, Indra came and surrendered to him. Indra means Lord, but Indra wanted to show the world who was the real Lord, not him, but Gopal. So he performed Abhishekam for Lord Krishna in that place. So Madhavendra Puri was sitting there. Then a small cowherd boy approached him. Very beautiful. So charming. And he said, "Dear sir, who are you and where you are from? I think that you must be fasting. In my village, nobody fasts. Some people, they beg, and whatever they need, they get. Other people, they just drink milk. We supply milk. But for people like you, who don't even beg, don't even ask for anything, I personally come to supply what you need. Take this milk, and after some time, I will return to collect the pot." Madhavendra Puri asked, "How did you know I was fasting?" The boy said, "I'm from this village, and the neighboring ladies were taking water from the lake all day, and they saw that you were not getting any food. So they gave me this pot of milk to deliver you. Now I must go to milk the cows." So he left. Madhavendra Puri was astonished. He drank the milk, washed the pot, and sat. As he sat, he went into a sleeping state and had a wonderful dream. It was a vision. That same little cowherd boy came up and said, "Madhavendra Puri, please come with me," and took him by the hand and brought him deep into the forest near Govardhan. He said, "You see this forest here?" He said, "I have been waiting for you for a long time. I'm very hungry and very thirsty, and I'm very hot from being there for so long. You should get the local villagers. Tell them to bring their choppers and chop through this forest, and there you will find me laying there. Actually, my name is Gopal. I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. I was worshipped in the form of this deity from the time of Vajra, the great grandson of Krishna, 5,000 years ago when I was installed. But not long ago, some enemy soldiers came to attack. So the pujari hid me in this forest, and out of fear he fled and never came back. I have been waiting for you a long time. Please install me on the top of Govardhan Hill and refresh me by bathing me with thousands of buckets of water from Sri Govindakund. Then I will be satisfied. Then the little boy disappeared. Madhavendra Puri woke up and realized that little boy that came to bring him milk was Krishna. And he didn't recognize him. So he felt simultaneously ashamed and ecstatic that he didn't properly receive or honor the Lord when the Lord came to him. He fell unconscious. Then he was crying. Then he began to think that the Lord has given me an order. This is the nature of a devotee. Not so concerned with anything but carrying out the order of the Lord. Prabhupada tells story of Mukunda. His name was Mukunda Sarakar. He was a physician. And he always was trying to hide his ecstasies. And there was another devotee. It describes the nectar of devotion. He was fanning Krishna with a peacock fan. And seeing the beauty of Krishna, he started feeling ecstasy, and his eyes were being filled with tears. And he was cursing his ecstasies because they might interfere with his service to the Lord. So a real devotee is not concerned with being in ecstasy. They're simply concerned with making Krishna happy, even if it means pain. So Madhavendra Puri, he went and got the villagers. And they took their choppers, they chopped through it. There they saw Gopal, covered with dirt and with straw and with leaves. And they cleaned his body. Beautiful form of Gopal. Identical replication of that Gopal is on this altar. This is actually the deity which was modeled after the deity of Madhavendra Puri. With his left hand, he is lifting the Govardhan Hill. They were struck with wonder to see the beauty of the Lord. And many men had to lift him. He was so much heavy. They brought him to the top of Govardhan Hill and took a big stone and made an altar for him. One stone in the bottom, one stone in the back for support. Then they called for a wonderful festival. They bathed the deity with many, many buckets of clear, filtered water from Govindakund. And they bathed him with panchagavya, the five nectars of the cow, milk, yogurt, ghee, dung, and urine. Then the panchamrita, five nectars, milk, yogurt, ghee, sugar, and honey. Then they gave the Mahasnan, many, many, hundreds and hundreds of buckets of scented water. Then they dried him. Then Madhavendra Puri began to massage his entire body with fragrant sandalwood oil. Then again, another Mahasnan, where they bathed him with many, many wonderful substances and pure waters. Then again they dried him and they decorated him with beautiful silken cloths and with tulsi garlands, flower garlands. They put chandan on his feet and tulsi leaves, put whatever ornaments they had and offered it to Gopal. At that time, the whole village of Aniyur, they came with their entire stock of food. Because this is the nature of the people of Vrindavan. Everything belongs to Krishna. There's no question of keeping anything back from Krishna, from such devotees. Everybody, every home brought their entire supply of foodstuffs and cooked a huge feast. They made mountains of rice, mountains of chapatis. Sabjis, cakes, many liquid items. Literally, that entire area at the top of Govardhan Hill was completely filled with mountains and mountains of preparations. And the Brijavasis were thinking that by Madhavendra Puri's mercy, the reenactment of the Anakuta that took place at the time of Krishna was being manifested before them. After this wonderful offering, Madhavendra Puri, he offered it himself. He personally offered the aarti. Then they make a little bed. And then around the bed, they just took straw mats and made a little temple around the bed. That was Gopal's temple. Madhavendra Puri told his assistants that now you should feed everybody sumptuous for prasad without discrimination. Such wonderful feast. This became so much a source of happiness and joy that everyone in Vrindavan was coming to see Gopal. And every village of all of Brajbhumi, they all reserved a day where they could do the same feast. What did that mean? Each village would bring each person, they would bring their entire supply of food, all their grains, all their dal, all their milk products, all their vegetables, all their fruits. They just bring it all, prepare it, offer it to Gopal, and then give it to the general populace. This went day after day after day. It became so popular, even some wealthy towns outside of Vrindavan were coming. And they wanted to have such a feast. One rich Kshatriya from a royal dynasty, his offering was immediately. He built a beautiful hand-carved stone temple for Gopal. Other villages were coming and making beautiful silver and gold ornaments for him. It was just a matter of months until Gopal was one of the most opulent temples in the world by the mercy of Madhavendra Puri. 2 years went by like this. In the meanwhile, Madhavendra Puri initiated many devotees and trained them on how to do the deity worship, which he was single-handedly doing at the beginning. One night, Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream. He said, "Dear Madhavendra Puri, I'm still feeling hot. I was in those bushes for a long time. I know you put thousands of buckets of water on me, but I'm still hot. I want you to personally go alone to the Malaya Hills to get a large supply of sandalwood and bring it back and apply it on my body. Then I will be very satisfied." Now, Malaya Hills was about 1,000 mile walk. All the way in the Malaya Hill is all the way down in Orissa. So Madhavendra Puri allocated all the various services to his devotees, and then he left, traveling by foot. Madhavendra Puri was such a great devotee. He was the very embodiment of ecstatic love of God. When he saw a rain cloud, he would remember Krishna and immediately fall unconscious. He was always absorbed in remembering Krishna. He had absolutely not the slightest concern for materialistic subject matter. He would usually travel alone because he didn't want to possibly talk nonsense with someone. when he would remember Krishna, tears would flow from his eyes like rivers, his limbs would tremble, his hairs would stand on end. Sometimes he would fall lifeless for 6 to 8 hours at a time. He would rumble like a cloud. Sometimes he would laugh. Sometimes he would roll in the dust. These were all spontaneous, pure, intimate symptoms of ecstatic love. But a devotee always wants to be with other Vaishnavas. But at that time, there was so few Vaishnavas. Madhavendra Puri was always looking for some nice association. He'd go with sannyasis, and the sannyasis would say, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am God, I am Krishna. So he stopped associating with sannyasis. Most religious people were worshipping various demigods for material satisfaction. Or even if they worshipped God, they were doing it so that they could have big families and lots of money. So Madhavendra Puri, he was feeling great, great separation from the association of true devotees. On his way to Jagannath Puri, he came to Shantipur. He heard about a great Vaishnav named Advaitacharya. He went to the house of Sri Advaita. When they met, just upon seeing each other's love of God, they began. Advaitacharya fell at the feet of Madhavendra Puri and surrendered to him. Who is Madhavendra Puri? Advaitacharya is the combined incarnation of Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva, and he's surrendering to Madhavendra Puri. Advaitacharya, day and night, would just hear the glories of Krishna from the lips of Sri Madhavendra Puri. And ultimately, he begged Madhavendra Puri to offer him initiation, diksha, became his disciple. They enjoyed many, many days together. Then Madhavendra Puri continued his journey. He came to the village of Remuna. Lord Chaitanya explained how when he came to Remuna, upon seeing Gopinath, he was dancing in ecstasy. And he heard rumors that they make very nice offerings of bhoga to the deity. So Madhavendra Puri was thinking in his heart, if I can find out what they make for him, then I can make the same thing for Gopal when I return to Vrindavan. This is a devotee. Every moment he's thinking of what to do for Krishna. Never thinking of himself. Always thinking what to do for Krishna. So, it was just the evening bhoga arti being made, bhoga offering being made. And the pujaris were telling Madhavendra Puri that right now, the most special sweet rice, the most delicious preparation in all of the universe is being offered to Gopal. This temple is famous for this sweet rice preparation. Madhavendra Puri was thinking, if I could just once taste that preparation, that I could make the same thing for Gopal when I return to Vrindavan. Ah! I'm thinking of eating it when Krishna's eating it. I'm abominable. This is shameful. So he didn't say anything to anyone. He stayed for the arti, and right after arti, without saying a thing to anyone, he left, went to a marketplace, private, secluded place, chanting his japa. The pujari cleaned the altar, took the 12 pots of sweet rice off, and then put Gopinath to rest. Then the pujari went to take rest. But Gopinath appeared to him in dream and said, "Oh pujari, you only took 11 pots because I stole the 12th one. If you come on the altar right now, you will find behind the curtain, I have placed this stolen pot of sweet rice. I have done it because I want it to be delivered to my dear devotee, Madhavendra Puri. He is a sannyasi in a lonely marketplace in Ramuna. Bring it to him. The pujari immediately got up, took his bath, went to the altar, opened the doors of the temple, and there behind the curtain was one pot of sweet rice. He was astounded. He washed the place, took the pot, closed the temple doors, locked them, went marketplace to marketplace calling out, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, where are you? Who are you? Gopinath has stolen this sweet rice for you. Come and get it. Soon everyone in Ramuna is thinking, who is this Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath has become Kir Chor Gopinath. He's become a thief for him. Pujari was calling out, Madhavendra Puri, there is no one more fortunate than you. Please come. Madhavendra Puri heard it and he came forward. Upon seeing each other, they embraced. The pujari offered his obeisances to Madhavendra Puri and offered him the sweet rice and told him the whole story. Madhavendra Puri was crying in ecstasy. So humble. How merciful is the Lord to me. When the pujari left Madhavendra Puri, he drank that sweet rice. He was drinking the love of Gopinath. Tears were flowing out of his eyes. He was overwhelmed in ecstasy as he was tasting the sweet nectar of Gopinath's mercy. Then he took the clay pot and broke it into pieces. And with his own outer cloth, he wrapped it up. And every day after that, he would eat one little piece of that clay pot that was touched by Gopinath. And he would be overwhelmed in ecstatic love, weeping tears. Madhavendra Puri began to think, now that Gopinath has stolen the sweet rice for me, now I'm going to become famous. And big crowds are going to come to honor me. I'm getting out of here. So without saying anything to anyone, immediately he left Ramuna. This is Vaishnava. The whole world is so much eager to be recognized, to be honored, or if possible, to be worshipped. But a Vaishnava does not care for any of these things. In fact, he's appalled by these things. But sometimes for the service of the Lord, he's willing to accept the austerity. For the welfare of others. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada was here for his Vyas Puja. If you come on June 21st, we're having a parikrama of New Vrindavan, and we're going to go to all of these holy places of Prabhupada's Leela. On the top of this mountain, behind Bahulaban, Prabhupada sat in a beautiful Vyasasan. It was a red Vyasasan. And there were hundreds of devotees from all over America who had come to honor him on his birthday. Srila Prabhupada explained in his lecture that some of you guests may be thinking, why is this man sitting on a big throne and everyone is he's accepting so much glorification and honor and gifts and worship? He said, actually, it is not for me. I am simply the humble representative of the Lord. It is for the benefit of all of you that I'm accepting this on behalf of Krishna. This is Vaishnava. Nothing for himself, everything for the Lord, everything for the conditioned souls, everything for other Vaishnavas. It's a life of service, selfless service. So, wherever Madhavendra Puri went, the news that Gopinath stole the sweet rice for him was already present in everyone's hearts. As soon as they saw him, that's him, that's Madhavendra Puri. So he would just keep escaping from every situation. Then he came to Jagannath Puri. When he saw the beautiful deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, what ecstatic love he felt. He was dancing and dancing and dancing and chanting the holy names before Lord Jagannath. And soon a big crowd of people came in Puri. There's Madhavendra Puri. But then he was thinking, I could use this fame in the service of Gopal. So these people were all coming forward and saying, we'll do anything for you. How can we serve you? So he explained the story of Gopal. Can you arrange this sandalwood? It was very difficult to get sandalwood in those days because it was all under government control. And it was extremely costly. So the priests and the devotees of the Jagannath temple, just to serve this great soul, they obtained 82 pounds of sandalwood, plus a quantity of camphor, pure camphor. And then for his trip back, they gave him two assistants to help carry, and also many papers, because in those days, India was not one country. It was a whole series of kingdoms with rival kings. And as soon as you cross a river, there's usually all kinds of toll gates. And the area of Orissa, sandalwood was not allowed to be taken out. So they actually, the first toll gate he came to, the police confiscated everything. And then he had to show them the papers he got from the Jagannath temple, and somehow he got it back. So it was going to be a difficult thing. And most of the traveling was through jungles, where there were robbers and dacoits and thieves, murderers. Very, very dangerous. Very, very inconvenient. But Madhavendra Puri did not consider convenience or inconvenience. He only considered the will of the Lord. Tathenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagam. This is a devotee. According to our sincerity, inconveniences that we have to suffer in the service to the Lord become a great pleasure. We welcome whatever comes because we are living for Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri did not consider or concern himself with any of the dangers or troubles ahead. He continued forward. Then he came to Remuna. He wanted to see Gopinath. The pujari met him. He was so happy. He gave him sweet rice. The next morning he was going to leave Remuna to continue to Vrindavan. But that night he had a dream. Gopal appeared to him. The Gopal of Vrindavan. And said, Madhavendra Puri, it's so much trouble for you to take all this to Vrindavan. It's so dangerous. There'll be so much suffering for you. I am none different than Gopinath. Whatever sandalwood and camphor you have, just offer it to Gopinath and I will feel refreshed and cooled by that service. So Madhavendra Puri woke up and told the pujaris, here we have all this sandalwood. Gopal wants it for Gopinath. So they were very happy because they never had such an opulence before for the deities. They had four men all day long just grinding sandalwood, mixing it with camphor, covering the deity's body with it throughout the entire summer. After the summer, Madhavendra Puri went to Jagannath Puri to spend Chaturmasya. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing this wonderful, wonderful story, he was struck with wonder. Then he explained that at the time of Madhavendra Puri's... Actually, I'll get to that part later. This story... Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains, anyone who sincerely hears the story with their hearts, the treasure of love of God will soon be awakened. Once when Madhavendra Puri was traveling in the western provinces of India, he happened to meet Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda left Ekachakra, his home, when he was 12 years old, with one sannyasi, and he traveled to various holy places for 20 years. And during that time, he never preached, because he was such a servant of Lord Chaitanya that he wouldn't preach until Lord Chaitanya ordered him and blessed him to preach. And once he got that order, that's all he did. To everyone, to anyone, everywhere. During his travels, he happened to meet with Madhavendra Puri. This is described by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Anyone who hears this narration, the treasure of love of God is also awakened within the heart. Just upon seeing each other, they both fell unconscious in love. Madhavendra Puri at that time was traveling with some disciples like Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Puri. They were struck with wonder. These two great souls, they just saw each other and fell unconscious. Then finally they came to consciousness again, and they were offering obeisances to each other. They were embracing each other. They were bathing each other with tears of love. Madhavendra Puri just had Nityananda's head in his chest and he was just holding it. He wouldn't let him go. Lord Nityananda Prabhu then began to speak. He said, I have traveled to all the holy places throughout the world. He said, but I have never seen this extraordinary type of ecstatic love that is within the heart of Madhavendra Puri. Today, my pilgrimage to the holy places has borne fruit because the holiest of all holy places is the lotus feet of this great Vaishnava. Today I am fortunate. They spent many days together talking about Krishna, so absorbed in speaking about the pastimes and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness that they never even considered whether it was day or night. There was no concern for eating. There was no concern with drinking. There was no concern with sleeping. They were just so absorbed in their relationship with each other, sharing Krishna Katha, the topics of Krishna. Madhavendra Puri, he expressed his great love for Nityananda Prabhu. That I have never seen a manifestation of such love of Krishna as in Nityananda. All the holy places rest within his lotus feet. Whoever hears about Krishna from Nityananda, that person's life will attain perfection. And whoever even has the slightest particle of hatred for Nityananda will never attain Krishna. It was very, very difficult for them to part, but it was the will of the Lord. Lord Nityananda Prabhu accepted Madhavendra Puri as his spiritual master and never accepted anyone on that level as his spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the disappearance of Madhavendra Puri. It's very, very instructive. Ishwara Puri, who was a very, very great devotee, who traveled with Madhavendra Puri for many years, he was at the deathbed of his Guru Maharaj. At that time, Madhavendra Puri was so old and invalid that He couldn't walk. His bodily functions were becoming very much difficult. But Ishwarapuri was always at his side. He was such a menial, humble servant that he personally cleaned the stool and urine from the body of his guru with his own hands, feeling grateful for such an exalted opportunity. Day and night, he would narrate the beautiful topics of Krishna and sing the holy names for his Guru Maharaj. Madhavendra Puri was so pleased with Ishwarapuri that one day he said, I pray that Krishna will bless you, that Krishna will bless you, that you will become a pure, unalloyed lover of the Lord Sri Krishna. Upon receiving that blessing, Ishwarapuri became the most important of all of the disciples of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Who were some of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri? For those of you who know Krishna's Leela, or Mahaprabhu's Leela, Adwaitacharya, Nityananda, Paramananda Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Sri Rangapuri, some say even the Jagannath Mishra was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted Ishwarapuri as his spiritual master. Because he, with such humility, such sincerity, and such complete faith and dedication, served his spiritual master. During that same time, Madhavendra Puri was crying out in separation for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Why have you left me? This is his ecstasy of separation in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. And one disciple of the name Ramchandra Puri, he was proud. He said, if you can't find Krishna, then you should meditate on Brahman. Madhavendra Puri said, get your face out of here. I never want to see you again. Krishna has left me and you're telling me to meditate on Brahman? Get out. Because he displeased his spiritual master, due to his false pride, he lost all good qualities. From that day on, his full-time occupation was to find faults with Vaishnavas. He even went to Puri. And all day long, he was finding faults with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. He had a whole systematic process. He would invite the devotees of Lord Chaitanya to his house for prasad. He'd say, here, take this Jagannath prasad. It's Jagannath's Mahaprasad. Get the nicest preparations. And they'd take. He'd say, take more. They'd say, no, enough, enough. No, take more, please. He'd say, no, we've had enough. He'd say, take more. He said, all right, we'll take more. You eat too much. I have been told that the followers of Chaitanya eat too much. Now I see with my own eyes. That's the way he used, that was his service. It was false ego. One day Lord Chaitanya was at one of the homes of his devotee and they were out of love and devotion offering him nice prasad and all of a sudden Ramchandra Puri comes in. Now I know you're a sannyasi. You're supposed to be austere. Look at all this opulent preparations you're eating and you eat too much. Now I know why your disciples eat too much because you eat too much. You're bogus. The devotees were really upset. But Lord Chaitanya was so humble. He said, all right, from this day on, I will eat only half the amount. Just a couple handfuls of rice. That's all I'll have. Devotees, they came all the way from Bengal with all preparations to offer the Supreme Personality of God, and now he was only taking a little rice every day. It was torturous. It was unbearable for them. They'd say, they were very critical of Ramchandra Puri. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't criticize him. He's like my father. He's trying to help me. He's very good. He's my guru's godbrother. He's come to save me. So Lord Chaitanya always offered all respect to him. Finally, even when he was doing that, Ramchandra Puri came to the Gambhira one day. Now the Lord was torturing the devotees by just eating a little rice every day. Ramchandra Puri saw some ants. If any of you have been to Puri, there are ants everywhere. There's no place where there's no ants. He saw a couple ants crawling. Hypocrite! You are pretending to be eating only a little rice, but secretly in the solitary confines of your room, you're eating sweetmeats and cheating the people. And I can tell because the sugar has spilled and these ants have come to reveal the truth. Lord Chaitanya didn't say, no, I'm not doing it. He just accepted. Amani na manadena. The devotee doesn't care for any respect for himself, but ready to offer all respects to others. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally taught us this through this pastime. Finally, when Ramchandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, it was like a drought that had just, rain started coming. It was like a plague had just been lifted, and all the devotees immediately started bringing big feasts to Lord Chaitanya, and he, for the pleasure of the devotees, he was accepting everything. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, after he had taken sannyas, he went to Vrindavan, attempted a trip to Vrindavan. On his way back, he stopped in Shantipur, the house of Advaitacharya. It's a wonderful story. While he was there, visiting Advaita Prabhu, it happened to be the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Chaitanya asked Advaita how he was going to celebrate. Advaitacharya, every bit of his wealth he invested in this festival for the pleasure of his guru. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was amazed to see the arrangements. There were like four rooms filled with rice. Then there was more rooms filled with dal. And there was rooms filled with banana. There was about 10 rooms filled with bananas and banana leaves and coconuts. And there was 5 rooms reserved for kitchens. And there was grains of various sorts. And there was vegetables. And there was big amounts of ghee and butter and yogurt. Literally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was amazed. And then when it was announced that the day was the day of Madhavendra Puri's disappearance, all the devotees were so excited to participate. One said, "I will cut the vegetables." Another said, "I will string the garlands." Another said, "I will break the coconuts." Another said, I will clean all the floors." Another, "I will clean all the walls. I will put up canopies and flags everywhere." Everyone was volunteering. So much excitement. So much energy. Soon all around, devotees were just busy, 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 busy doing work to glorify this great Vaishnava. Wouldn't it be nice if New Vrindavan was like that during festivals? To the degree we actually put energy and enthusiasm, to that degree we will experience Krishna. Krishna reveals himself according to our enthusiasm, according to our surrender. Sachi Mata was there. She volunteered to be in charge of all the cooking. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going from room to room, from place to place. Then he came into the kirtan hall. Mahaprabhu danced throughout the day with his devotees. Sometimes his devotees were dancing, and sometimes all the devotees would put Lord Chaitanya in the middle and he would dance alone. Then again, all the devotees would dance. Then Lord Chaitanya would dance alone in the middle, hour after hour after hour. Then the offering was made and the aarti was made. And in the evening, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his devotees after dancing and chanting all day long and said, let us honor the feast of Madhavendrapura. Such a wonderful feast. Lord Chaitanya was so impressed with Advaitacharya's devotion to his spiritual master. He asked, you're just a simple Brahmin. How did you arrange all of this bhoga? How did you arrange all of these facilities? Lord Chaitanya said, only Lord Shiva himself could do this. Lord Chaitanya actually revealed at that time that Advaitacharya was an incarnation of Lord Shiva himself. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Remuna was telling these stories, he described how when Madhavendra Puri was leaving his bodies, he was reciting again and again a particular verse. Mahaprabhu said, just like sandalwood, the more you rub sandalwood, the more fragrant it becomes. Similarly, the more one contemplates this verse, the more love of God awakens within the heart. He said, just as the Kaustubha Mani is supreme amongst all jewels, similarly, this verse is supreme amongst all verses in revealing the highest limits of the ecstatic love of Vrindavan. Would you like to hear the verse? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeating it again and again and again. Ai dina dayardranata he maturanat kadavalokshya se hridayam twad aloka kataram Dayata Brahm Kim Karomyaham. O my Lord, this verse is a verse that was sung by Srimati Radharani after Krishna left with Akrura from Vrindavan. It is a verse of her utter depths of intense love and separation. This verse was the very heart of Srimati Radharani being revealed through her words. And it is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that that inconceivable limits of the ecstasies of Radharani's love was manifest to Madhavendra Puri. And Lord Chaitanya, who was Radharani himself, herself, he could understand the significance of this verse. And there is no fourth person who could ever truly understand it. This is the exalted position of Madhavendra Puri. That Sri Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, and him are the only ones who can truly understand the depths of this verse. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? In the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, through this verse and through the life and the love of Madhavendra Puri, the highest ecstasies of the love of Vrindavan were introduced. In the ecstasy of love and separation, as Barsana Maharaj was describing this morning, one's complete concentration goes internally toward the remembrance of the Lord. And because the Lord is within the heart, and he is not different than the remembrance of him, the Lord within the heart reciprocates with the intensity of the love within the heart. And therefore, this love in separation is the deepest kind of unity and the highest form of ecstasy. So it was Madhavendrapuri who first revealed this to the world. And he taught it to Ishwarapuri. And in disciplic succession, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna in the mood of Radharani, accepted and freely distributed the highest ecstasies of Vrindavan to everyone and anyone in this world through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeating this verse again and again, he became choked up in his voice. All he could say was, Aidina, Aidina, Aidina. First he fell unconscious. Then he got up and again started, Aidina, Aidina. Floods of tears flowing from his eyes. Hair standing on them, trembling. He started running back and forth, dancing, laughing, rolling, jumping up and down. Aidina, Aidina. In glorification of Sri Madhavendrapuri. Lord Chaitanya said to Lord Nityananda, analyze, has there ever been or will there ever be a devotee like Madhavendrapuri? Unconditional total surrender to the Lord. And he revealed to the world the greatest treasure of Vrindavan's love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him the seed, the root, and the trunk of pure love of God. The Lord personally sent him to this world to prepare the way for his mission. And our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he has taken intact, perfectly, in its fullness, that great gift and so freely distributed it to the world. New Vrindavan is a place that Srila Prabhupada wanted people from all over America and all over the world to come and receive this gift. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.